Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. And it's time to grab a cup of coffee and get your Bible, and time to reason together through the Word. We have been going over the Passover, Old and New Testament alike. They were observed both in the Old and the New Testament. We are now in Exodus chapter 13, and we're going to read 1 through 16. This is the third in a series. If you want to go back, starting in the first radio show, we started going over Exodus 11 and 12, the coming out of Egypt, the plagues that God put on Egypt to show his children, the sons of Israel, that the gods of Egypt were no gods at all. And the last plague was a death of the firstborn and everyone that did not have the blood of the lamb, and the lamb had to be without spot and blemish. Again, pointing right at Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist even says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And anyway, they had to sacrifice or to kill this lamb or a goat, and they had to eat it that evening. They were to leave nothing left over. They were to take the blood and put it on the two side posts and over the lintel, the top of the door. So when the death angel came by that night, nobody in that house would be harmed, and everybody was to stay in the house. And then God led his people out of Israel. So we're going to start in chapter 13, 1 through 16 is the next part. And this also shows you that the Passover is part of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it says, "Then the Lord, or Yahweh, spoke to Moses, saying, 'Set apart to me every firstborn, the firstborn of every womb among the sons of Israel, both man and beast, it belongs to me.' Moses said to the people, 'Remember this day in which you went out from Egypt, from the house of slavery. This is exactly the same as us coming out of the land of sin and death. When we were born again from above, we came out of the land of sin and death, and instead of being a slave to the law of sin and death, we became under a new law, the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For by a powerful hand, Yahweh brought you out from this place, and nothing leavened shall be eaten. On this day, in the month Abib," which again God says is now going to be the first month of the year, "you are about to go forth, and it shall be when Yahweh brings you to the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall observe this rite in this month. The 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and the seventh day there shall be a feast to Yahweh. Unleavened bread shall be eaten throughout the 7 days, and nothing leavened shall be seen among you." Leavening is untruth, so we're not to have any untruth amongst us. "Nor shall any leaven be seen among you in all your borders. You shall tell your sons on that day, saying, 'It is because of what Yahweh did for me when I came out of Egypt.' And it shall serve as a sign on your hand and as a reminder on your forehead, that the law of Yahweh may be in your mouth, for with a powerful hand Yahweh brought you out of Egypt. This is what is to be on your hand, a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead, not the mark of the beast. This is another reason why I wanted to break away from that other teaching, and we got into that. We've been going through Revelation, and we showed you what shouldn't have been there, but what should be there is the observance of Passover, because the Passover is the sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead. It is the opposite of the mark of the beast, and the mark of the beast wants slavery on your hand. He wants a person to belong to him and to think of him and to worship him, and we are to worship God rather. Anyway, verse 10 of chapter 13 of Exodus, "Therefore you shall keep this ordinance at its appointed time from year to year." Now, when Yahweh brings you to the land of the Canaanite, as he swore to you and to your fathers, and gives it to you, you shall devote to Yahweh the first offspring of every womb, and the first offspring of every beast that you own. The males belong to Yahweh. But every first offspring of the donkey you shall redeem with the lamb. But if you do not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, "What is this?" Then you shall say to him, "Do you know this? What does all this mean?" Then you shall say to your son, "Well, we all need to hear this, because we haven't heard this from our fathers," you see. "What is this?" And then you shall say to him, "With a powerful hand, Yahweh brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery." You know, there is one place in the Bible, I think it's Ezra and Nehemiah, that it talks about the good hand of the Lord was upon him. "With a powerful hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery." That's verse 14. Let me turn to Ezra for just a minute. That is so neat. I used to make little notes when the good hand of God was on somebody, and I don't know if I did it in this Bible. I probably didn't do it. But anyway, in Ezra and Nehemiah, it talked about the good hand of the Lord being upon them. Oh, here we go. I found some. I usually make a little hand in my Bible and highlight it orange because it impressed me so much. Here's just an example. I'll just give you a few. This is Ezra speaking. "I was strengthened according to the hand of the Lord, my God," or Yahweh, "my God upon me, and I gathered the leading men from Israel to go up with me." So because of the good hand of God being upon Ezra, the temple was rebuilt in Jerusalem. According to the good hand of God upon us in another place, they brought us a man of insight of the sons of Mali, and he was to help in constructing the temple. "The hand of our God is favorably disposed to all who seek him." So we want the good hand of our God to be favorably disposed to us. We want God with us when we drive our car. We want the good hand of God to be with us when we work. We want the good hand of God to lead us out of slavery, out of the land of sin and death, and lead us into the promised land. Here's another place. "And we journeyed from the river of Ahava on the 12th of the first month to go to Jerusalem." This is coming out of captivity to Babylon and Persia and the Medes. And they were coming back to the land of Israel to rebuild the temple. And it says, "And the hand of God was over us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and ambushes on the way." And that's several examples of the good hand of God being upon us. So when our children ask us in time to come, "What is this about the Passover?" we shall say to them, "With a powerful hand, Yahweh brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery." "With a powerful hand, Yahweh brought me out of the land of sin and death and brought me into the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's the Holy Spirit's land, you see. It came about when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go that Yahweh killed every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both of the firstborn man and the firstborn of the beast. "Therefore I sacrifice to Yahweh the males, the first offspring of every womb, but every firstborn of my sons I redeem." You don't want your children killed, so they had to be redeemed. Basically, God was saying they belong to him. So God has no intent to harm anyone, so they had to be redeemed. So it shall serve as a sign on your hand and as phylacteries on your forehead, for with a powerful hand Yahweh brought us out of Egypt, this land of bondage. And also that in verse 9, these will serve as a sign. He actually said it two times, that will serve as a sign on our hand in verse 9 and 16. I'll read 9 again. It's basically saying the same thing, but with this added thing in verse 9. It will serve as a sign to you on your hand. And what will? When you take the unleavened bread in communion, you see. It'll serve as a sign on your hand, as a reminder on your forehead, that the law of Yahweh may be in your mouth, for with a powerful hand Yahweh brought you out of Egypt. Now remember, we are not under the old law of sin and death, but there are 6 New Testament laws listed in the Bible. I've already gone over them in the judgment tapes back in around 90, the late 80s and show 90, 91, and so on. And they are the law of faith in Romans chapter 3, the perfect law of liberty in James, the royal law in James, I think they are one and the same, the law of Christ, which is to love your brother as yourself, and let's see, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and there's one more, I can't think of it right now. But anyway, when I think of it, I'll let you know. But there are 6 listed, and I think they pertain to laws that govern our spirit, govern our soul, and govern our physical bodies. And these are laws, like I'll give you the law of faith. The righteous will live by faith. And our faith is accounted to us as righteousness. That's a law. So when we believe God, we become right with God. Boy, that's way better than the law of sin and death, isn't it? So there's still law. There is still law and order with God. After they sacrificed the animals and put the blood, and this is during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and they put the blood over the doorpost and the lintel, and the death angel passed by, and all of Egypt saw in the land of Egypt there was death to every firstborn, whether it was slave or royalty or animals, all the firstborn God had slain by the destroyer. So then Pharaoh told him to go out, and so now they are going, because of this victory, God is going to bring his people out of Egypt, just like you, my friend, when you crossed over and you went from Satan's domain when you were saved into God's. People say, salvation, what is salvation? Well, salvation is coming out of the land of sin and death, like Egypt, and it is coming out of the bondage of Pharaoh, which is Satan, and into God's kingdom, being part of God's kingdom, and where God now is God. And that's salvation, you see. At one time, we were separated from God, and God brings us home. So 17, it's that simple. 17 through 22, and Jesus provides a salvation for the spirit of man, for the soul of man, or his mind, or the spirit is the same as the heart, so God provides salvation for the spirit and the heart of man, the soul or the mind of man, and also for his body or flesh. So now here is the journeying out brought about by the Passover. Now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near, for God said the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Hence God led the people around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea, and the sons of Israel went up in martial array from the land of Egypt. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you. And by doing that, he was foretelling of the resurrection of the dead. Anyway, then they set out from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness, and Yahweh was going before them in the pillar of a cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light that they might travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So God leads his children Israel out of the land of sin and death. So now we're going to go into the New Testament and look at the antitype, or what all this was pointing toward. And we're going to read Matthew in its context. The first context is Matthew 26, 17 through 19. And this is where Jesus observes the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover. Now, let me make this statement. Passover is in the Bible. Easter is not. And there is one translation where Easter is used in the King James Version Bible, but it is the Hebrew word Pesach, which is Passover, Pascha. And it's a transliteration. It came from Hebrew. It stayed the same in the Greek, and it means the same. It's the Passover was the Passover and still the Passover, whether it's Hebrew, Greek, or English. And it was incorrectly translated Easter for some reason, but Jesus did not observe Easter. He observed the Passover. So we're going to read Matthew 26, 17 through 19. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I am to keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' The disciples did just as Jesus directed them, and they prepared the Passover." So now this first part is a preparation of the Passover. Okay? And let me get my other Bible out too. I've got some notes. I did a new Bible this year, and I want to make sure I'm keeping up with my notes. I did some kind of special notes this year thinking about this one. Okay. I wanted to make mention that that first context, 17 through 19, is the first day of unleavened bread. And they were preparing the Passover. So the first day of unleavened bread, and they prepared the Passover. And it says that right there. "Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?'" So now we're going to read 20 through 25. "Now, when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. As they were eating, he said, 'Truly, I say to you, the one of you will betray me.' Being deeply grieved, each one began to say to him, 'Surely not I, Lord.' And he answered, 'He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go, just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born.' And Judas, who was betraying him, said, 'Surely it is not I, Rabbi.' Jesus said to him, 'You have said it yourself.'" He is just foretelling through the Passover. The Passover foretold what the Passover lamb really was going to be, and that was going to be Jesus, and he was going to be betrayed into the hand of the chief priests, and he was going to be the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. So now they're going to take the Passover. This is where it begins in verses 26 through 29. Now, there are other terms for the Passover in the New Testament. It's also called koinonia, communion. And that word you'll find translated meaning to communicate or to share, to have in common. Those types of attitudes, to share, to have in common, or communicate. So there'll be talking going on, there'll be sharing going on, and you can actually prove that out, and of course, communion. So let's see what happens while they are taking this meal, the Passover meal. "While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take eat, this is my body. And in some translations, take eat, this is my body for you. Now, why the King James translators in a couple of places on the Lord's Supper, they say, take eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And then you go to the book of Psalms, and the not a bone was broken. It actually says that not a bone was broken. They simply pierced his side. And Penance proves that. In Westcott and Hort original Greek Bible, it is proven that it actually just simply says, take, eat, this is my body. And then some other places, either Mark or Luke says, take, eat, this is my body for you. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. And so what the bread is, the unleavened bread, and it's unleavened bread, he said, take, eat, this is my body. And it's not in a symbol of Jesus' body. It is his body, he says. And we're not going to get into anything beyond that. So it just says that that's the case. For this is my blood of my covenant. So he also says the same with the drink. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So there is going to be a renewing of the communion or the Passover after Jesus dies on the cross, and it's not much of a change from what he did here. Now look at the order. First, while they were eating a meal, and then Jesus took the unleavened bread, and he said, take, eat, this is my body for you. And then after the bread, then the cup, and he says, drink it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. Then they were singing a hymn, and they went to the Mount of Olives. And always in the Mount of Olives, you will find prayer involved when they go to the Mount of Olives. And let's see, we are in 31. Oh, verse 30 is the context in itself. After singing a hymn, they went to the Mount of Olives. 31 to 35, then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. But Peter said to him, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly I say to you that this very night before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. All the disciples said the same things too. Now, I'm going to start in Mark here just a little bit. Mark 14, 12 through 16. And this is another account of the same night. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed, his disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, the teacher says, where is my guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. If you have any questions or comments, please call me, Andy, at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. That's Andy at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."